Greetings from Three Edge Asset Management in Boston, and welcome to our monthly View from the Edge podcast for March 2020. My name is Fritz Foltz. I'm the Chief Investment Strategist here at Three Edge.
And I'm Eric Beagle-Ozen, Director of Investment Research here at Three Edge.
As we do each month, Eric and I will discuss our firm's most recent outlook for the global capital markets based upon our proprietary research model. And we'll point out any significant changes to our outlook, which may have occurred over the course of the past month. So let's get started and let's talk about the markets. Over the past few weeks, we have seen a material correction in global equities and a dramatic decline in yields, particularly in U.S. Treasuries. Then yesterday, the Fed announced an emergency rate cut of 50 basis points, but the equity markets continued to decline after the announcement, as the coronavirus seems to be serving as a catalyst to challenge an overvalued equity market. I saw a news headline yesterday afternoon about the equity markets. Once the market closed and even after the emergency rate cut, stocks were down, and the headline read, "Global health crisis one, economic policymakers zero." I thought that was fairly apropos.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So these past few weeks have proved once again that markets do not like uncertainty. And we certainly have uncertainty in spades with the spread of the coronavirus outside of China, causing increased investor fears of a pandemic that could dramatically impact future global economic growth through both reduced economic demand as well as the potential for significant global supply chain disruptions. As the crisis continues, central banks and governments around the world were expected to respond, and now they have, including yesterday's announcement by the Fed that they would do an emergency rate cut of 50 basis points. Meanwhile, along with equity market declines and the volatility of the past few weeks, the U.S. Treasury market has seen yields decline to levels that are all-time lows. And really, it seems to me, Eric, they're previously like just unheard of.
That's right. Truly remarkable.
So we have the 10-year U.S. Treasury below 1%. That never happened before. And it looks as though in these uncertain times, brought on by the spread of the coronavirus, U.S. Treasuries are clearly the safest safe haven asset in the world. So that's the background. And I'm really glad that I have Eric here with me today to sort all this out. So let me bring Eric into the conversation, discuss the major asset classes that we look at. And we'll start with equities and U.S. equities, which certainly have taken on the chin in the past few weeks.
Yeah, well, so as of this afternoon, I'm seeing on the website I'm tracking the virus with, we've got 82 countries and territories, including the Diamond Princess cruise ship.
That's right.
Off the coast of Japan that have been impacted so far. There was a great synopsis, Fritz, of the landscape. Our model of the global capital markets, not surprisingly, has adapted, as would be expected with such significant market movements. Our research shows U.S. equities remaining the most attractive of the lot, but less so than it was a month ago, as this positive investor psychology that we saw that was present has disappeared and behaviorally is now a bit more uncertain at this point. That being said, the underlying economics remain attractive for U.S. equities, despite the still high levels of overvaluation, even after the sell-off of over 10% from the peak in February.
Okay, so if you look at the economics, what is positive in terms of the economics?
I think the short answer there is the Fed.
Okay.
The longer answer is the following. The market's reaction in driving down Treasury yields, both at the long and in particular the short end, well in advance of the Fed move and well beyond the then existing current lower bound, bodes well from an equity valuation standpoint. But as we mentioned, the concern shorter term is the investor behavior. You know, what good are these lower rates if everyone is at home not spending money?
Right. Very good. So the valuations have improved with the correction, but investor psychology is potentially negative and could get more so.
Yeah.
As this thing goes on. All right. What about equities outside the U.S., ex-U.S., international equities?
Right. I would say similarly, we find international equities less appealing for the same reason. However, in the case of international equity modeling, we had already had a negative economic outlook even before we overlaid this change in investor behavior. And so this negative economic outlook is driven from our yield curve measures for each region, which are all inverted, impacting the economic outlook negatively.
Very good. So U.S. equities are the most attractive of the four major equity asset classes, but none of the four are attractive enough.
That's right.
Okay, good. All right, so let's switch then from stocks to bonds. I think it's safe to say that the bond market has reacted dramatically to the onset and the spread of the coronavirus and its potential to impact global economic growth. The two-year Treasury yield sank to 0.70%, and who knows where it is right now. We had the 10-year below 1% for the first time ever, again, as Treasuries serve as a safe haven asset for the entire world. So what is the model research currently indicating in terms of fixed income markets?
Yeah, it really is truly remarkable to have seen the 10-year yield. I saw the low at 92 basis points or 0.92% intraday. You know, perhaps it makes me think that we may see negative yielding 10-year U.S. Treasury yields at some point. As for our research, the model's preference in fixed income continues to favor intermediate term U.S. Treasuries and TIPS, that is, Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. Our U.S. yield curve inversion measure continues to be supportive of Treasuries, as does the investor exuberance that's causing the actual downward movement in yields as well.
All right, great. I know we also have an allocation to TIPS, and maybe just that needs a little bit more explanation since it's hard to find any inflation or expectation for inflation in the future. However, it's probably also the case that that's exactly when you get inflation.
Yeah. I think for many of the same reasons that we like nominal treasuries, we find TIPS as attractive for this for those reasons. But TIPS provide embedded inflation protection, as you noted, which could be in the cards. We're seeing the Fed easing to stimulate growth, but this also may further weaken the dollar, and this could in turn cause inflation to turn up. We've seen it in other countries, particularly in the emerging markets in recent months. Mm-hmm. We're not immune to that.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So let's shift now to look at the credit, corporate credit, investment grade, high yield. What are we seeing there?
Yeah, with regard to credit, I'd note that the decline in global equity markets was alongside a widening of credit spreads, both investment grade and high yield, as there's now a greater possibility of an extended economic slowdown. This would likely impact corporate borrowers and their ability to roll over their debts while they continue to mount increasing revenue shortfalls with business slowing and consumers not spending. So, you know, not liking longer-term credit, but I would say we're comfortable with investment-grade credit risk, you know, having really short maturities.
Okay, good. That's a very important distinction to make. Helpful. So now let's shift gears again and look at real assets, which includes gold and commodities. And, you know, clearly gold has benefited as a safe haven as fears grew over coronavirus. But perhaps even the bigger story for gold may be the decline in real interest rates that we've seen.
Yeah, we've been saying the same thing about gold for, you know, since March of last year, I think.
That's
it
right.
Maintains this positive outlook, and it's largely been driven from the declining real yields, as you noted. That is, the nominal yields less inflation. And it continues to prove itself as a safe haven against global uncertainty. And this uncertainty now would include the potential impact of the spread of the coronavirus. Notable, though, worth mentioning, was that large 4% or so downward move in gold in one of the risk-off days in late February that we saw. And as events unfolded, we learned much of this was attributable to investors who liquidated their gold holdings to meet margin calls. And this seems to hold water, this thesis, as we've seen gold rebound since then as the markets have continued to oscillate and with the Fed reducing rates.
Yeah, that was really crazy when you see something like happen.
Yeah.
So anyway, how about commodities?
Yeah, not surprisingly, and like equities, the outlook for commodities has declined given the heightened economic uncertainty and the potential for reduced demand, at least in the short term and potentially longer. Commodities are, you know, one of these asset classes that are just highly sensitive to changes in the global economic outlook.
And I suppose also the way things will go in China, either for the better or for the worse, would impact commodities.
Yeah.
Great. And last but not least, short-term fixed income, cash equivalents, what we sometimes refer to as dry powder.
That's right, dry powder. So short-term fixed income and cash remain reasonably attractive on an absolute yield basis, though the yield seems to be quickly disappearing. We've been talking about that for some months now. You know, in our view, gold and U.S. Treasuries may provide the potential for upside opportunity and downside protection. Short-term fixed income and cash, though, play an even more important role by serving as dry powder for our clients, like you mentioned. You know, when the opportunity presents itself for reinvestment in equity markets, we'll be able to buy and hopefully at lower prices.
Very good. All right, Eric, thank you very much for getting us caught up in terms of our outlook for the global capital markets. And now, as we do each month, I will ask Eric for his three most important takeaways from today's podcast. So, Eric, what do you have for us this month?
All right. Number one, if you haven't heard, there is a virus spreading across the globe.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, and wreaking havoc in many, many people's personal lives and their portfolios. That said, we don't find any equity markets attractive currently, though the U.S. would likely be the one to turn back on if things were to materially turn around. Two, we continue to like U.S. Treasuries. This includes TIPS, as we discussed, as declining yields and inverted yield curve warrant a healthy allocation to intermediate-term Treasuries. And three, we continue to like gold. As real yields continue to decline, we're seeing Fed rate cuts, and gold maintains a great hedge against uncertainty in the world, which there seems to be plenty of these days.
Plenty of uncertainty, absolutely. So, great. That'll do it for Eric and me here at 3EDGE Asset Management. We will be back once again in April of 2020 with another View from the Edge podcast. So thank you for your time, and thanks for listening. This commentary and analysis is intended for information purposes only and does not constitute an offer to sell or solicitation of an offer to buy any securities. The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of Mr. Foltz and Mr. Beagle-Eisen and are subject to change without notice in reaction to shifting market conditions. This commentary is not intended to provide personal investment advice and does not take into account the unique investment objectives and the financial situation of the audience. Investors should only seek investment advice from their individual financial advisor. These observations include information from sources that 3EDGE believes to be reliable, but the accuracy of such information cannot be guaranteed. Investments, including common stocks, fixed income, commodities, and ETFs, all involve the risk of loss that investors should be prepared to bear. Investment in the 3EDGE strategies entails substantial risks, and there can be no assurance that the strategy's investment objectives will be achieved. Past performance may not be indicative of future results.